morning. It is 10 o'clock on Wednesday, March 25th, 2007. This is Centennial College Radio News. I'm Nikki Rodas with Jessica Hume and Charlene Callahan. Looking at the weather outside our East York studios, it is a cool and cloudy 9 degrees. We will hit a high of 15 today and a low of 5 degrees by tonight. Now here are today's headlines. The Tory government intends to give a speech about the reduction of greenhouse gases, even after part of the speech was leaked. A Liberal motion to withdraw Canada's military presence in Afghanistan was defeated in the House of Commons. New evidence in the 2005 Boxing Day fatal shooting of Jane Kreba may shed light into the final moments of the young girl's life. Centennial College journalism students will bid farewell to a year of hard work at the 12th annual Not Quite Ready for 60 Minutes award ceremony. Now to our top story. Environment Minister John Baird was supposed to give a speech tomorrow in Thornhill, Ontario. The speech was leaked to the Liberal Party. Within the document, it says that by 2010, the Canadian government will have reduced greenhouse gas emissions by 150 million tons. The Tory government aimed to reduce greenhouse gases in 3 to 5 years. Further details about the government's plan are under wraps. Baird is still set to present the environmental plan this morning in Ottawa. A Liberal motion to end Canada's military commitment in Afghanistan was defeated. Yesterday in the House of Commons, the NDP aligned with the Conservative Party to defeat the motion by a vote of 150 to 135. The Liberal Party aimed to withdraw troops by February 2009. The Tories refused to set a firm exit date. The party insisted that troops stay in Afghanistan until the job is done. Defense Minister Gordon O'Connor said the Canadian military could be needed until 2010. In local news, new evidence in the Kreba murder may shed light into the final moments of the shootout. On Boxing Day 2005, teen Jane Kreba was accidentally gunned down. The shooting took place outside the Foot Locker near the Eaton Centre in downtown Toronto. Richard Steele is an alleged eyewitness that saw the fatal shooting play out. He was caught in a wiretap saying that he stood right beside Kreba as she was gunned down. Steele has been uncooperative and has refused to reveal any information. In yesterday's court proceedings, he lost his bid to avoid testifying. Steele will be forced to testify by early next week. 10 people face charges in the shooting.
This is a Centennial College Radio breaking news bulletin. Now, live to the newsroom.
This just in, the chair of the TTC, Adam Giambroni, has resigned. Giambroni told reporters this morning at City Hall he felt he could not remain on the job running Toronto's Public Transit Commission after Monday's fatal accident that killed a longtime TTC worker. Giambroni has been on the job only 8 months. He says he tried but failed to repair a corporate culture that doesn't put worker safety first. We'll have more on this developing story as it unfolds. It has taken almost 2 years, but the city is finally attempting to improve underprivileged areas across the GTA. In 2005, the Strong Neighborhoods Task Force report identified 13 areas considered at risk. Now the city is beginning to implement its neighborhood action plan. However, proposals from the city on how to improve these areas received criticism at a forum in East York. Travis Prasad has this report.
There are systemic issues that challenge our collective ability to improve.
Concerned residents and community activists raised their voices, challenging the City of Toronto over its Neighborhood Action Plan. The plan will provide new programs for the 13 identified at-risk neighborhoods. However, development worker Nagarama Lingham is unsure how the city will meet the needs of all the people.
We have a lot of plans and a lot of good programs with good intention, but the question is whether it is really reaching the diverse population of Toronto.
Beaches East Shore Councillor Janet Davis argues that residents aren't being informed of what's going on. She says they need to be included.
Nobody has really taken the time to come out and do a presentation like this to the residents of these neighborhoods and to say to them what their role is going to be, when are they going to be heard, how are they going to be supported in this process so that it truly is a neighborhood-driven process.
Chris Brillinger is the Director of Community Services for the City of Toronto. He welcomed the criticisms, recognizing the purpose of feedback and how it will help to provide better services for the city in the long run.
It's community engagement groups that continue to push us and say, it's all fine and good, the program responses you put in place, that's helpful, that's nice, but we still got to deal with this, or we've still got to address that.
The next Neighborhood Action Forum is March 20th at the North York Civic Center. This is Travis Prasad for Centennial College Radio News.
Thank you, Travis. Lindy Outred, the journalism coordinator for Centennial College's East York campus, will play host at this year's Not Quite Ready for 60 Minutes Interviewing Award Ceremony. This is the 12th annual ceremony, and all journalism students are invited. The event is held in order to recognize the hard work put forth by all students. The awards also honor those who demonstrated excellent interviewing techniques throughout the year. Good luck, everyone. And that's the latest in news. Now here's Jessica Hume with today's sports.
Thanks, Nikki, and hello, everyone. In basketball, the Raptors beat the New Jersey Nets last night with a final score of 89-83. Shooting guard Anthony Parker scored 26 points, with Chris Bosh close behind with 25 points and 13 rebounds. The Raptors were trailing behind 78-76 late in the game when TJ Ford scored a three-pointer. Parker made a free throw, putting the Raptors ahead 80-78 with only 2.5 minutes left in the game. The team's win puts them in a tie, 1-1, in the best-of-seven division series. Game 3 takes place Friday in New Jersey. Vince Carter was held to 8 of 24 shootings, scoring only 19 points. The Blue Jays beat the Red Sox last night in Boston, 10-3. The Jays won the 15-hit game in front of the largest crowd at Fenway Park since the Second World War. Pitcher Roy Halladay allowed 3 runs on 5 hits with 10 strikeouts. Vernon Wells hit his 4th home run of the season. Catcher Greg Zahn was hit on his right thumb on a foul and will be put on the disabled list for the rest of the season. Veteran catcher Sal Fasano will replace him. The second round of NHL playoffs are set to get underway. Last standing Canadian team, the Ottawa Senators, will face the New Jersey Devils on Thursday night. In a match that sees two of the hottest NHL teams play each other, the Buffalo Sabres host the New York Rangers to kick off the second round of the playoffs this Wednesday. And finally, Canada lost to Finland last night 4-2 in the IIHF International Hockey Games. Canada will head to Russia for the next game. The OHL's St. Mike's Majors slipped back to 1 game above 500 for the season after losing to the Windsor Spitfires. Matt Smith has this report.
In OHL action yesterday, goalie Anthony Guadagnolo made 28 saves and centerman Brett Liscombe scored the game-winning goal as the Windsor Spitfires beat the St. Mike's Majors 3-2. Guadagnolo, who was recently acquired from the Ottawa 67s, put on quite a spectacle in yesterday's game. Majors coach Bud Stefanski was quite impressed with Guadagnolo's performance.
So, I'll do the action and then throw it
across.
Majors forward Tyler Donati, who added a goal and an assist for his team, also commented on the Spitfires' goaltender.
I think their goalie did play well tonight. We still need to capitalize. You know, we're going to come up against hot goaltenders every so often, and I think that we need to be able to bury our chances.
The Majors' leading scorer, Justin Donati, was missing in action and was likely the reason why the Majors came out short in the end. Coach Stefanski comments.
You take your leading scorer out of any game, it's going to hurt a team. So it's going to take its toll, and we just have to weather the storm. And Justin Donati will be back in 10 days. We have to get through next weekend on the road, and then go from there.
In a correction, the Vancouver Canucks are one Canadian team who's still in the NHL playoffs. And after the commercial break, Charlene will give us the latest in entertainment.
Soon, it will be playoff time for the Toronto Raptors.
And soon, it will be playoff time for...
Euro Slowcar! Kung Fu Grip.
Euros.
Mustache Lip.
Slokar.
Tender Kiss.
Euros.
Basketball.
Slokar.
Euros.
Slokar.
Euros.
Slokar.
Euros.
Slokar.
Euros. Slokar. Buy your tickets now for Euroslokar!
Welcome back and hello everyone. Cheers, cries, and applause for Hilary Duff yesterday. Duff visited Much Music last night to the delight of all her screaming fans. Duff is promoting her new album called Dignity. It's the pop star's third album, which she co-wrote. Duff appears tonight on CTV's E-Talk to co-host with Tanya Kim. Opening statements in the Phil Spector murder trial resumes today. Spector is best known for his wall of sound recording technique, but he is facing murder charges for shooting 40-year-old Clarkson, a club hostess who came home with him. If convicted of second-degree murder, Spector could face up to 15 years in prison. So long farewell for Heather Mills. Mills was booted off the hit reality show Dancing with the Stars last night. She was the first contestant to compete with an artificial limb. Mills donated her performance fee to an animal charity. After many months of contested tension between Rosie O'Donnell and The View, O'Donnell is rumored to announce her departure from The View today. Last night, O'Donnell apparently made too many jokes about Rupert Murdoch, which set Barbara Walters trying to separate herself again from the comedian's bad habits. Cameras, camcorders, and cost oh my. Sony recently showcased its new gadgets for 2007. And here's my report at the first-hand look of the brand new technology.
Probably familiar with the function guide for some of our higher models in 2006.
Sony launched its 2007 digital imaging show at the Crown Plaza Hotel in Toronto last week. They presented the newest upgrades in Sony digital still cameras, camcorders, and accessories. They marketed the latest precision and quality in photographs and videos guaranteed by their high-definition products. Patrick Chan, retail support specialist, says the show informs retail companies about the products.
We're introducing the dealers and the sales people here to the new technology that's introduced in our cameras and camcorders, and giving them a little demo on, you know, how the technology works. It helps enable them to communicate the information to their customers so they can potentially make those sales.
There are many new features to the various products. By having this show, retail employees get a chance to test out the products to show their customers. Sony marketing employee Andrew Ragbissing says it's important to inform companies about changing technology.
In the electronics industry, it's changing very rapidly, so just conveying our goals as they change to our dealers' employees of what we're trying to achieve every quarter.
Many of Sony's products are priced high, but Chan says customers are buying value and quality products.
They help them introduce our new features inside the cameras and show them the value of each of our new models.
Sony will be showcasing in Montreal and other major cities in Canada in the coming week. I'm Shirley Callahan with Centennial College Radio News.
You're probably familiar with the function guide.
And that's all for me. Now let's send it back to Nikki for the wrap.
Thanks, Charlene. Now with another look at today's headlines. The Tory government intends to give a speech about the reduction of greenhouse gases, even after part of the speech was leaked. A Liberal motion to withdraw Canada's military presence in Afghanistan was defeated in the House of Commons. New evidence in the 2005 Boxing Day fatal shooting of Jane Kriba may shed light into the final moments of the young girl's life. Centennial College journalism students will bid farewell to a year of hard work at the 12th annual Not Quite Ready for 60 Minutes Awards ceremony. Good luck, everyone, and enjoy the summer break. On behalf of all of us here at Centennial College Radio News, thanks for listening, and have a great afternoon.